Good morning. It's good to be with you this Mother's Day. And we're just grateful to the Lord for all that He gives us and for the privilege we have of just being able to gather freely in His name and be able to worship Him, be able to acknowledge Him publicly, to be able to stand freely in a place like this and have the freedom to say, if we want to, the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what a privilege we have as we come to worship the Lord together. I want to just start by reading from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, the opening paragraph, where we have some of the thoughts that are contained in the phrase of the Apostles' Creed we're looking at this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through to 4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. One of the great dangers that we have in the church is we become so familiar with the terms and phrases and words. If you just count how many times we've sung the word Lord this morning. And I'm really wrestling, especially with this evening, when we talk about Jesus, Lord. What's that actually mean? And how do we get to grips with that, where we're so familiar with that term? And one of the problems when Jesus came is many of the Jewish leaders were so familiar with what they thought God should be and what God should look like and what the Messiah should be that they missed Him completely. And there's this great danger that we're familiar to the point that we actually shut our minds to learning anything new. My prayers as we consider just maybe some of these basic truths today, God would just extend our grasp of Him and extend His grip on us as we come to see what it is we declare we believe. I grew up as an Anglican in a sense where we said the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. And I believe it's some valid, very valuable teaching here as some basic discipleship. The basic teaching of the truth, of the church. To say I believe implies that the statement is true as far as I'm concerned. And I believe it is true. It implies that this will impact my worldview. It implies that this will change my values. It implies that this will somehow impact my behavior and the way I conduct my life. It's very easy to say, I believe. But really, when we're standing up and say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, we're talking about something that if it's true, and if I'm really saying what I'm saying, it will impact my worldview, it will change the way I look at life, it will change the way I behave, it will change the values of my life. To say, I believe that Jesus Christ, His only Son, sets you apart from the majority of people on the planet. So if you're able to say that and want to say that and are willing to say that this morning, it places you in the position where you are very likely to be persecuted, mocked, potentially charged with antisocial behavior, being intolerant, being arrogant. To say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, sets you apart and makes you liable for all kinds of opposition and persecution. So I believe in Jesus. And again, He has a word, a name that we use, we're so familiar with from when we were children. The name Jesus was there. But the name Jesus, there's that wonderful song, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. What is it about that name that is so different from every other name? When Jesus was being, when Jesus was conceived and Mary was pregnant and Joseph, you'll remember, discovered that she was pregnant. The angel appeared to Joseph and said this specifically to him. She said, Joseph, she will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Probably wasn't Jesus, because Jesus is the Greek of Joshua. It was probably more an Aramaic Joshua. Because he will save his people from his sins. The name Jesus means God is Savior. So, just to say that first word, I believe in Jesus, is saying that I believe and recognize that I need salvation. I need God somehow to step into my life and to redeem me and to save me from my sin. Later on in the creed we talk about we believe in the forgiveness of sin, specifically. But to say I believe in Jesus is to infer that I am dependent upon Him for salvation. I accept that this salvation will come through the person and work of Jesus Christ, His Son. To say I believe in Jesus Christ, again, it's a title, again, a Greek word, the Anointed One, which was the equivalent of the Old Testament Messiah. And so for us to say I believe in Jesus Christ is I'm saying I believe that this Jesus, who is God's Savior, is the promised Messiah, is the one who God has promised for generations, is the one who the prophets spoke about, is the one who the people of God looked forward to, coming as their Redeemer, their salvation, who would set up His people and establish again the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 4, you remember the account where Jesus went into the synagogue and He was given the scroll of Isaiah chapter 61, which was the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 onwards, as Jesus reads this prophecy, He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." A messianic prophecy. And then when He rolled up the scroll, He gave it back to the attendant and He sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began by saying this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So to say I believe in Jesus Christ is to say I believe in the person of Jesus, God's Savior, who is the promised Messiah, who fulfills every promise and prophecy about the Messiah of God. Maybe that's not what you actually quite had in mind when you think about the Apostles' Creed. That's maybe a little bit too big for when I stand up and say it, what I really mean. But we need to understand that. That we're saying Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled every promise and prophecy concerning the Messiah. And again, we need to be aware that the religious people of His day, they believed in the Messiah. They would have said, "I believe in the Messiah." But they had fixed in their mind so firmly what they thought the Messiah should look like and what the Messiah should do that they did not recognize the Messiah when He came. They in fact ended up persecuting Him, putting Him to death as a false Messiah, because their picture of Messiah was not the picture that God had in mind. They did not recognize Him. They had a limited view of who or what the Messiah would be like. So we need to be wary of that. To say I believe in Jesus Christ is not to hold firmly to what I perceive Him to be. Or to hold firmly I believe in Jesus because of all the things I'm expecting Him to do for me. All the promises I'm expecting Him to fulfill for me in my life. To say I believe in Jesus Christ is to come to the place where I'm willing to trust Him personally as the Savior, as the Messiah, trust Him to do whatever, whenever, however He chooses to do it. Because I know in that He will fulfill everything that God promised in the Messiah for me. It's not trusting Him for specific things, but trusting Him for who He is. And in the light of who He is, many more than those specific things will become reality in my life. It's a personal faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm gripped by this truth. to believe is not just I trust in, but that I am willing and dependent to trust in Him. It will impact my life. It will change the way I view things. And it will mean I'm open to change the way I view things. As the reality of who Jesus is becomes more and more for me, so I will change how I live, how I behave, how I relate to other people. So it's a big thing, these simple little words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. Personal faith in a mighty Savior. Then it goes on to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. J.R. Packer, when he writes about this, he says, when the creed called God maker of heaven and earth, it parted company with Hinduism and Eastern faiths in general. Now, by calling Jesus Christ God's only Son, it parts company with Judaism and Islam, and it stands quite alone. This belief in who Jesus is, Jesus as the only Son of God, sets Christianity apart from every other religion. The Nicene Creed, which was earlier than the Apostles' Creed, actually elaborates a little bit more on this. It says, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. Now for some of you, you just go, bzzz, okay, that's some theological stuff there. Okay, but that is so important. When I say I believe in Jesus as God's Son, this is what I need to understand and grasp. That there's something unique, special, incredible, almost unbelievable about who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. The title, the Son of God, many have said is the most important, and some theologians would say it is the most important phrase of self-disclosure about Jesus. If we don't understand this, we don't understand who Jesus is and who Jesus was. In some ways, this is the whole theme of John's Gospel, for instance. At the end of his Gospel, John says, I've recorded the acts of Jesus. And in John 20, verse 31, he says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. God so loved the world that He gave His, what is it? Only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The understanding of Jesus as the Son of God is critical to our salvation. It's critical to understand what that means, to understand the person and work of Jesus Christ. When the Bible talks about only begotten Son, we don't really have a word in English that communicates that adequately. Because it's not talking about Jesus as a son by begetting of the Old Testament. You know, when Adam and Eve begat Cain, begat their children. That's not the word that is used here. Here, Jesus is God's one-of-a-kind son. There's no one else like Him. Genetically, He's unique. There's nothing and no one anywhere like Him. There's no other son like Jesus. He's not the first of many others. But He is the only one like that. So when it talks about His only Son, it's talking about Jesus as unique. Jesus never became God's Son. He always was God's Son. He has always existed. One substance with the Father. One essence. He is God. He has always been, and as God, He is eternal. There was never a time where God was not. There was never a time when Jesus was not. There was never a time when the Son was not. He did not become the Son in becoming man. But the Son took on flesh and became a man. Okay? So when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, we're talking here about the Godhead. That aspect of the Godhead explained and described and expressed to us in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one substance with the Father. Of essence, He is God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. No different from God. That's part of the miracle, that this God became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't become a son. He didn't become a man in a sense of become something completely different to what He was before. But He took on the likeness of human flesh to live amongst us as a man, to take our place. And we'll deal a little bit more with this evening, because it's absolutely critical again to understand the Lordship of Jesus, to understand Jesus' work on earth, on the cross, and through the resurrection. Jesus never ever said that God was our Father in the same way that He was His Father. Because when God is our Father, it's a different kind of sonship. We become sons by adoption. Jesus was a son in essence. So He says, my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Because His relationship to the Father is unique. No one else can have that relationship. And so He is not one like us, other than becoming a man. But as the Son of God, He's unique, and we are sons through adoption. So I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. And that title, Son, means there was a mission, that Jesus had a mission on earth. There were things that Jesus, as the Son, has done, is doing, as part of the Godhead. He had a unique mission. The first one, obviously, is to give eternal life. God gave His only begotten Son that whoever believed in Him shall have life. Through Christ, we have eternal life. Romans 8 verse 3, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to become a sin offering so that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. So part of Him coming as the Son was to make it possible for us to have salvation, to have eternal life, to have His righteousness granted to us. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son. Atonement was possible because the Son became a man and took our place on the cross. Jesus came to give us eternal life, and that's what John said. I'm writing this that you may believe and so receive eternal life. In Galatians chapter 4, we read that this made provision for us to come into sonship as well. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. We read this. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of Son. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So when I say I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm saying that it is through Jesus that it has become possible for me to know God as my Father. It is through Jesus that I can call God Abba, Dad, Father. It is through Jesus that the spirit of sonship is birthed in my heart, and I have this relationship with the Father, a personal relationship, because Jesus by His Spirit has given me that possibility. All part of saying I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son. That beautiful hymn, and we'll look at it a bit more this evening, but in Philippians chapter 2, the early hymn of the church, talking about Jesus' humility and attitude, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6, it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held onto, exploited, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so as the Son of God took our place on the cross, He opened the way that we may come back to God and know Him. So it's very critical that we understand this title of Jesus as the Son. In essence, God, but becoming man, that we may become the sons of God by adoption through Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, bringing atonement, opening the door for us to heaven. But Jesus, the Son of God, is also the mediator of creation. And to me, this is too big to grasp. Although we say, I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, it's very clear in Scripture that everything God made as the maker of heaven and earth, He made through the Son. Everything God created, He created through the Son. Jesus was the mediator of creation. Jesus is still the mediator of creation. The Nicene Creed again says, Jesus being being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Not made through the Father, but through Jesus all things were made. John chapter 1, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God from the beginning. Clearly talking about Jesus. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. So as we look around creation, everything we see, everything that has ever been made, was made by Him. He is the mediator of creation. There's nothing that has been made by the Father that was not made through the Son. Incredibly important understanding of who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1. Says this again in another way, Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. And listen to this, visible and invisible. Yeah, sometimes you think of invisible things as always having been there. No, anything that exists that is invisible was created by Jesus. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. We come back to that tonight under the Lordship. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So right now, creation holds together through Christ. And we're told in Hebrews, we read a little earlier, that He holds it all together. He sustains creation by His powerful word. If Jesus ceased to do what He is meant to do, creation would disintegrate. We would cease to be. In Him we live and move and have our being. Not just God the Father, but God the Son who holds all things together. So it is actually very, very important and very critical that we are able to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Because as His Son, Jesus has made all things and holds all things together. He is the mediator of creation. He has determined and He will determine what creation does and what will happen in creation in the future. I think the other important thing for us to grasp as we talk about Jesus as the only Son is He is also the ultimate revelation of God. And we have that quite clearly in Hebrews. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. The Son, the radiance of God's glory. The radiance of the very presence of God. The exact representation of His being. Jesus in Matthew, He says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. If you're ever going to know God, if you're ever going to have any kind of understanding or grip or grasp of who God is, it's going to be as the Son chooses to reveal Him to you. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. As the Son, He makes the Father known. He has chosen to open your heart and your mind to grasp a little bit of the truth of who God is. You cannot know the Father unless He chooses to reveal the Father to you. He is the ultimate revelation of God. Very important that we understand and relate to this personal. I believe in Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I trust Him. I am dependent upon Him for my salvation. I'm dependent upon Him to perform and fulfill all that God has promised. I'm dependent upon Him for my life, for my breath. I'm dependent upon Him to open my eyes to see the Father. I'm dependent upon Him to be able to breathe in me life so I can say, Abba, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. The other reality that comes out in the gospel so clearly is that Jesus is and will be the judge of all humanity. John chapter 5 verse 22, he says, the Father judges no one. That has been entrusted. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Interesting. In His fairness and in His love and in His compassion, God has entrusted all judgment to the Son, because the Son has become like us, who knows what we face and who can judge justly. The Nicene Creed puts it this way, and He will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. That's part of the role of the Son. He will come to judge the living and the dead. There's so much more if you begin. I mean, we're dealing here with, what, 5 years of systematic theology, I think, in 20 minutes. But it's important that we begin to dig and understand, because this is the one who has given His life for us. This is the one who makes life possible for us. This is the one on whom it all depends. The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. I believe in Jesus Christ. We need to recognize this fact. We need to also recognize that we're dependent on Him. It's not just a name. It's not just a title. It's not just something we throw out there like a signature at the bottom of a check. It's the one who we have to engage with and who has to hold us in His hand that these things might become a reality in our lives. All of creation is dependent upon Him. Salvation, He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. Eternal life is the gift that only He can give. The fulfillment of every promise of God is His alone to bring about and to fulfill. And we'll look again a little bit more at that this evening. 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, there's this incredibly wonderful passage where Paul is talking about his gospel. And he says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. This is the Son of God. And so the Amen. Through Him, the Amen is spoken by us. We engage and we say, let it be. We yield, we submit to Him as Jesus Christ, the Son, that we may benefit from all that He is and all that He has done. So, very simply, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, sets Jesus apart from every other, and sets Christianity apart from every other religion, every other faith, a personal God. Jesus, God is Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, God's anointed one, the only Son, one of a kind, one essence and substance with God, the mediator of creation, God's ultimate revelation of Himself, the one who will come to judge all humanity. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Do you? Let us pray. Lord, our words cannot contain the meaning and implication of the truth of who You are and what You've done. But we ask that Your Holy Spirit would help us not just in our heads to grasp a better understanding of you, but in our hearts and souls, the depth of that reality may grip us, and that our lives may be determined by what we say we believe about you. Pray that you'd pour out more of that salvation and all that it means, the freedom to be all that you've created us to be. Pray that we may know the messianic fulfillment of who you are, not just in our lives now, but in eternity. And we may understand the implications of that for us in history, on this planet, in all eternity. Lord, that we may know a greater measure of that revelation, having a spirit of wisdom, that we may know you. That we may trust you more as you are holding creation together and ordering its days. Help us to truly believe that you are Jesus Christ, the only Son. Amen.